Sometimes you can't push, except in the first part. Okay. Shkoyach, everyone. Thank you for coming. Thank you so much for being here. I want to dedicate tonight's learning for the refuah shlema of Rav Weinberger's father, who's in the hospital. Do we have the name? We've heard so many stories about him over the years. So I just fear. Mordechai Aryeh Yosef ben Blima Sarah. Okay. What I am very, very excited about tonight, for tonight's shiur, is something that it's very selfish. I need this shiur. So it's nice that you came, but it's really for me. I need it desperately. I need to really believe in tonight's teaching. I think all of us really, really do. And I want to speak about Parshat HaChodesh in a way that I think will really make the preparation for Pesach mamash yatziv, mamash real, very real. And the question I want to ask is, when do you think you're closest to your neshama? When do you believe that you're closest to your soul? And so a lot of the answers will probably always be around, well, when I'm not angry, because I know when I'm angry, then my neshamas can't be with me. We learn that quite often. But I definitely want to just think about for a second, Kozman Shanashama Bakirbi, Modan Nil Fanecha Hashem Lakayav Lakayav Asai. That's how we start every single day. As long as the neshama, we translate it as within me, meaning that I'm still alive. My soul's in a body. I'm still alive. I'm still here in this world. And so as long as I'm still breathing, I'm thankful. Just keep that line in the front of your heart throughout the whole shiur. And we're going to try to answer that question. What does it mean, Shanashama Bekirbi, that the neshama is in my midst, is within me? Kozman Shanashama Bekirbi, Modan Nil Fanecha Hashem Lakai Lakai Lutai. And this is all based on a piece from Rav Biderman. Did you see this piece already in HaChodesh? Wow. This is fun. I'm really, really excited about this one. This is fun. It's easy, it's hard, it's everything. It's just good. It's good stuff. We're going to see a lot of very interesting stuff right now. One page. It should be enough for everybody. Yeah, well. Okay. So we start off, the first makor you have in front of you to understand how we're going to enter into Parsha HaChodesh is, as you all know, this is a Parsha, this is the Shabbos HaChodesh, this is the Shabbos where we read, coming up soon, where we're going to be reading, it's not yet, but it's coming up soon, where we read about, you know, Chitchatshut, about renewal. And it's almost the entry into Pesach. Now, really, this Shabbos is also, as you know, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So it's not stam, it doesn't always fall out like this, that it's really, the Chitchatshut is mamish in the air.
I think
it's on the first day. It is. Of course, the Breslover speaks, of course. It's also the Rebbe's birthday. One year we did a whole shiur just on Rosh Chodesh Nisan in the light of Rabbi Nachman's birthday. I think that what we're going to see this year, Be'ezrat Hashem, is going to lead us to really feel that we have a chance to not just go through the motions Seder night, as important as the motions are, but to not just go through the motions of Seder night. It's almost like when we read Parshat HaChodesh, it's like, oh, okay, it's happening. This is for real. Why is that? So what do we know about the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh? What are some of the things we know about it? The details. Just like, first mitzvah. Very good. What else? What else do we know about Parshas HaChodesh? Where was Parshas HaChodesh given? Where was mitzvah Kiddush HaChodesh? In Egypt. Very important. Very important. At what point in Egypt was Kiddush HaChodesh given to us?
Just before we left.
At what point exactly? Can you be more exact? You don't have to answer right now, but keep that also. Think about that as well. When exactly that took place, because that'll explain to us a lot. A lot, a lot, a lot. So, it seems that the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh are the keys. It's like Hashem is saying, I'm going to put you in a car. That car is called freedom. That car is called Chirut. You need the keys, the engine. You need keys for it. What's the keys? Mitzvah's Kiddush HaChodesh. Parshas HaChodesh. These are the keys to freedom. So the Chidush Yarim, my great-grandfather, Chisya Gan Aleinu, he begins off telling us like this. What does it mean when Hashem tells us, "Hachodesh hazeh lachem"? This month, this is newness is for you. Literally, "Hachodesh hazeh lachem." This is for you. So the Chiddush Ha'arim says, "Shehakoach masur biyadeinu, vehakol nimtza birshuteinu." The koach is within us. Everything is in our domain. What does that mean? What's in our domain? What is he referring to? Time. Zman. Time is in your hands. Is that true? Don't get too philosophical on me yet. Give me a few more minutes, Jack. Is that true? What do you think? Is time in our hands? Time is the only thing that's in our hands, actually. In our hands doesn't mean we have the koach to stop it. It means we have the koach to utilize it. So when the Chiddush Ha'arim says, "Hakoach masur biyadeinu, v'hakol nimtza birshuteinu," it's in our koach right now. Like, look at you right now. Monday night, 8 o'clock. Was the zman in your hands? Absolutely. By the way, even if you didn't show up, was the zman in your hands? Absolutely. It's all a matter of what you do with it. If you stop and think about that, your whole life changes. V'ilu yadanu mahu, u'ma sheyesh biyadenu la'asot, lo hayinu mevatlim afilu rega. But if we understood the concept of time, if we understood our power, what to do with time, there'd be no such thing as bitul zman. I would never be able to mevatel my zman, because the heaviness of wasting time would be too heavy for me to ever throw away time. Like that, we've mentioned quite often here that a very bad musag is called killing time.
Time kills you.
Time can kill you. Time can also give you life. We have to figure out what these concepts mean. But this is what we're speaking about. The Chiddush Ha'arim says, you want to understand this mitzvah, Kiddush HaChodesh? You are the Baalei, you are Mekadesh Yisrael Vazman. You have this concept of sanctifying time. And we're going to try to understand what that means tonight. And we start off with the Slonim Rebbe. The Slonim Rebbe, this is the Beis Avram. This is one of the previous giants in Slonim, not the Netilot Shalom. The Netilot Shalom quotes him all the time. And look what he says about Nisan. HaChodesh Hazeh Mesugal Taken Et HaRosh Shelo. This month can mamash mitaken our heads. How? V'afidu im rosho u'mocho meleim machshavot shel pigul shel ta'avot u'minut rachmano litzlan. Then even if your mind and your brain is filled with all the worst perverted thoughts and thoughts of heresy, God forbid, yachol litchadesh b'chodesh hazeh, you can still become renewed in this month dafka, u'leheasot kibriya chadasha, and you can become like a new creation. Gevalt. Who on earth wouldn't want that? Leheasot kibriya chadasha. You know, someone that says it's okay, I don't need to become a briya chadasha, he needs to become a briya chadasha much faster than other people. I have a chance of renewing myself? Why dafka? Why dafka is this? We have to understand, when Hashem said to us, HaChodesh HaZeh, this month, Lachem Rosh Chodeshim, what month was He referring to? Nisan. This month. Hashem is telling us, listen, you, this month, you have this month for you. This month, on a time level, is in your pocket. You do with it what you want. Rishon hu Lachem Lechodshei HaShana. It's the first month of you for the rest for the months of the year. And so the Slomer Rebbe says, "Mi shemitchadesh u'mekabel al atzmo la'avod Hashem b'chodesh hazeh." Whoever renews himself and decides, this month, I don't care where I was yesterday, this month I'm taking upon avodas Hashem. It's okay, I came to Minyan once every 4 months, but I'm going to start to come to Shul now, or whatever it is. That's just a very, you know, important, but get the detail. But whatever it is, that learning is really part of my life, that stopping to learn the mitzvahs that I'm doing anyway, that I'm becoming an Eved Hashem. He says over here, "Mi shemitchadesh u'mekabel al atzmo l'avod Hashem b'chodesh hazeh, mo'il lo l'kol chodshei hashana." You benefit from your avodat Hashem that you take upon yourself in Nisan for the rest of the year. Why? Because it's the head. It's the head of the year. It's the head of the months. It's the head of zmanim. So usually we say, most people, you know why they don't go to shul this Shabbos? Because they didn't go to shul last Shabbos. You know how many people don't eat kosher only because they didn't eat kosher last week? It's nothing to do with a conscious decision not to eat kosher. It's just that that's not what they do. Like many other things we do or we don't do, it has very little to do with a decision or a choice that we make. It's simply because we don't have freedom with time. Last week already told me how I'm going to act this week, but it wasn't even nothing passed through me, through my decision making, that made me decide to act in whatever way I'm going to act this week. It's just that I'm a slave to time. Time doesn't do anything to me. I'm in it. So now he's going to explain to us, the Sfarim Rebbe, what is so interesting about this mitzvah, and it's why I asked before, where was this mitzvah given to us? Zoti ha-mitzvah ha-rishona she-Hashem Yitbarach tziva otam. Like Mordechai said. Ve-amar lahem od biyotam be-eretz Mitzrayim. Like you said, Jack. This was told to us over while we were still in Egypt. Le-orot beze. She-ish Yehudi ha-otze litkarev la-Hashem Yitbarach. A Jew that wants to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lo yichakeh ad she-yetze me-ha-botz ha-te-avot ve-ha-tum'ah. This is such an interesting psychological thing, what he's saying. Don't wait to say, once I'm out of my schmutz, then I can come close to Hashem. Like we all say, I can't be close to Hashem in this situation because look at where I am. I have to wait until I get out of my balaganim. But dafka, that's why this mitzvah was given to us in the schmutz, in Egypt. אלא בעוד היותו בארץ מצרים משוקע וממתת שערי תומה ובגלולי עבודה זרה יתחיל כבר בעבודתו יתברך. Hashem looks at the Yidden and he says to them, you guys are so schmutzik. You're so dirty. You're around so much עבודה זרה. You guys have no idea about anything. You have this pentel Yid inside you, but you don't smell like Shabbos. You don't smell like Torah and Mitzvah. Like there was no Torah even given yet. You don't smell like Avodat Hashem. So Hashem Dafka gave us the first mitzvah regarding sanctifying time. Dafka, when we weren't feeling it, when it wasn't around us. So that no Jew can ever say, listen, the mitzvahs are for people that are already in somewhat of an observant lifestyle. That's why it was Dafka given to us in a place where no one can ever have a terutz and say, I have to wait until I'm clean in order to be a Yid. Rapitum. Dafka Shama B'Mitzrayim. But when exactly in Egypt, we're going to come back to it in a second. So up until now, we've understood one basic thing. Hashem told us one thing while we were still in Egypt over here. What was that one thing? Achodesh Hazeh Lachem Rashei Chodeshim. That according to the Chiddush Yerim, it means you can choose what to do with your time. Which was a Chiddush. Because they were slaves. A slave doesn't have time. So it was a total chiddush. They're like, oh, wait a second. What? Ech ze mitafien? How does my freedom mitafien? How does it manifest? Yeah? How does it come into character? How? Well, now you choose what to do. What do you choose? It's lachem. The concept of time is in your hands. No, but Hashem, the Egyptians are still on me. I'm not out of Egypt yet. We're still in the middle of the Makot. Remember, they were like halfway out of there, or a bit more than halfway out of there. Hashem is saying, sorry, it's not an excuse. You could still be surrounded by your taivas, by all the things that you think dictate to you that you're not able to be an Eved Hashem, and you look at them in the face and say, God gave me the concept of Kiddush HaChodesh. God said to me, HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, you have time, it's on you. No excuses. That's the beginning. Weiter. Rav Biederman takes us on a really, really beautiful trip over here. This is Toby's Rebbe. This is a beautiful, 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 tiny little piece from Rav Biederman, who's, Baruch Hashem, alive and kicking, very alive and kicking. You gotta get him here, Toby. Are you working on it? Okay. Really? Okay. Rav Biederman is one of the Lelever Rebbe's. He comes from Lelev, and he puts out the most beautiful, beautiful Torahs. We heard of an arshul every Shabbos called Wellsprings. Did you see it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is Rav Biederman.
Where
does he live? Where does he live, Tommy? Remember the story I was sitting next to a Rebbe on the flight that I know is a Rebbe?
Yeah.
I was telling him stories about the Lelever Rebbe was his grandfather. This is his brother. This is the... Anyway, ולא תקים לך מצבה אשר שנא השם אלוקיך. Torah tells us in Sefer Shemot, you shall not erect for yourself a matzeva that God hates. Now what is a matzeva? A monument there. What is the reference there over there? Does anyone know when Hashem says don't make for yourself a matzeva? So he's going to explain what this means over here. Pirshut tzadikim. Dekai al ha'adam she'oseh et atzmo ke'matzeva. Shehi davar mutzak. Ve'i efshar lehaziza mimkoma. The tzaddikim say, you know what a matzeva is? It doesn't mean a statue. It doesn't mean a monument. It means that you have become a monument. Lo takim lecha matzeva. Don't become a matzeva. Don't become what? And what is a matzeva? I efshar la'aziza mimkoma. That you can't move, they can't be moved from where you are. V'haynu shenishpa mihir hu'e ye'ush. That you are influenced from contemplations of despair. והוא חושב ותואר שכבר עבדה תקוותו ומה שהיה ומה שיהיה ולא יוכל עוד להשתנות. A monumental person, right? That's what it means over here. A monument, a person that's like a matzeva, someone that says, listen, I've already become so influenced from so many thoughts of despair that the fact that I haven't jumped off a building, chas v'shalom, that's enough for me. That's already considered like I'm choosing life. But to change? Come on. He's saying, "Lo takim lecha matzeva." Do not ever, ever, ever. It's an iser to ever consider yourself someone that's become a monument that can't move. And he continues over here, "Hanhaga zo sane Hashem elokecha." That's the end of this pasuk. You know what? You want to know what God hates? God hates not people, but He hates when people think that no matter how low they've gotten, meaning that despite where, like because of how low they were, there's nowhere to move. In Slonim, they quote the Reb Moshe Lev Kubrin that says, whoever, listen to these words, this is very important. The Kubrin says, we learned it once, whoever believes, or whoever doesn't believe, well, we'll figure this out as I say it, whoever believes that there's an Avera that large, that he can't show his face to Hashem right afterwards, from, due to the Avera, he said he hasn't yet stepped his, put his foot, a foot on the doorstep of Yiddishkeit and Chassidus. You hear those words? Mm-hmm. If in your mind there's something that schlepped you, dragged you that low, that you basically say, I can't, I need to do a lot of other things before I start talking to God, or before I think there's a chance I can talk to Hashem, and you have no idea what Yiddishkeit is. And this is really what Rav Biederman is saying over here. Fourth line. And what does it mean that you shouldn't make for yourself a god of a mask? Right? That's also we have in Sefer Shmos. Elokei masecha lo ta'aselach. What's a masecha? Shehi chatichat matechet she'osim bitfus. Venidme be'inav she'matzavot dome le'tavnit zo she'i efshar l'shanota. You know what a mask is over here? He's saying, this has become what's the right word?
It's like a mold.
Yes. And this is my tavnit. And I've already molded myself. Like, this is my sculpture. This is who I am. It's the same thing of matzeva, meaning something that you've done already. This is who I have become. And I can't not become this because I already have a statue of me somewhere. Right? Lehavdil, those of you that... Actually, I don't know if you remember this, Toby, or Mordechai would remember. When Jordan had his statue at the United Center, it was before he went to the White Sox? Remember in the minor league? It was before or after? So that if it's after, it works with this teaching over here. I already have a sculpture of me as a basketball player. But wait a second, what if my...
Before. Remember when he came back and the sculpture was there? It was
weird. Interesting. But many of us have this sculpture of, listen, this is who we are. Our sculpture is someone that just gets by. Zman, time, has no shayachut to me. Time, the gift of time means nothing to me because it's already written down who I'm going to be and what I am. Just like the slaves thought they were going to be slaves forever. This is the entry to Pesach. So he says, ze bechinat avodah zara. Rav Biederman says, כי בעבודת השם יתברך יש ביד כל אחד ואחד להתחדש ולהתחזק. Whether you feel it or not, this is very important. Whether you feel like you can or not, believing that you can is what we're talking about. Whether you're feeling it or not, a lot of things I don't feel. Right? I don't feel that this week is bringing a lot of Achdus and Am Yisrael. I have a feeling there's going to be a lot more Lashon Hara being spoken about Jews this week because of the Bechirot. So it's not a feeling like, wow, we're getting closer. Do I believe that it's in our power to get closer to each other? Absolutely. Am I feeling it? Not so much. I know, it sounds like apikorsus what I'm saying, but it's I'm being honest. But the fact that I don't feel something doesn't mean that I don't believe that it could be. So I don't feel like I could renew myself. Why? Because my yesterday is weighing so heavy on me right now. But if Dafka in those moments that I say, yes, I want to be true, I want to be real, Ribono Shel Olam, I don't feel any renewal. I don't feel like I can be renewed. I don't feel hitchatshut. I don't feel excitement. It's not what I feel. But believing in you means that it's possible. That's what Emunah en Hashem means. That's got to be a yesod mutzak, like a foundation stone in understanding what Emunah is. Even if I don't feel it, believing in Hashem means that it's possible. We're under this pressure that we're supposed to feel all the things we believe. That the Yetzirah are messing with us very, very much. So this is very important to realize. Itchatshut, do I feel renewed? Is there something that makes me feel, my God, I'm a new person? Well, not yet, but if I believe in you, Hashem, then I believe in what you chose to talk to me about first. What's the first thing you chose to talk to me about? Itchatshut. That was your choice. Believing in you means that it's for me too. כי בעבודת השם יתברך יש ביד כל אחד ואחד יתחדש ויתחזק ואין לך דבר העומד בפני התשובה and nothing in the world stands before תשובה. Now look what Rav Biderman does. This is an amazing thing. It has to do with last Shabbos. ומשום נחי נמי משתמשים הסנפיר והקסקסת כסימני טהרה במיני דגים. The fins and the, how do you say קסקסת?
Scales.
They are simanim of Tahara regarding fish. Why? This is brilliant. I don't know if you saw this in the English in previous years. Ki hem mesayim ladagim lashut neged zrimat amayim. What do fins and scales enable a fish to do? To go upstream. To go keneged the zrima of the mayim. What's the zrima of the mayim? One way. This is who you are. This is where you're going to be. The simanim that show, that allude to what a kosher, what a tahor fish is that which enables you to swim upstream. He says, that's why, that's the simanim of tahara. That's purity. When you are in tune with the ability to swim upstream in your own life as well. I thought that was a gewalt term. V'achen ein lecha siman tahara gedola mizo, ki ze more al ha-hishtanut v'ahitgambrut Neged amayim azeidonim. There's no greater siman of purity than that which enables you to look at the current, to look at the flow of the mayim hazeidonim, which means the wild evil waters that have made you have to swim in a certain direction. And you think, well, I could swim upstream? Ali dezeh ba lehitchatshut. This is how you come to renew yourself. And it's brought down in the Gemara and Shabbos and in Yerushalmi, Tainis, Shehadag she'eino yachol lashut neged hamayim tamehu. So I never saw that before. It's a crazy chiddush. That a fish that cannot swim upstream is considered tameh. Now don't think about this too much. Just take the Tainis.
Floating downstream,
dead. Right. Don't continue the nimshal. The mashal is enough for us. Absolutely. Now this is so, like, for that siman alone that Rav Biderman brought down is enough to make a whole rikud right now, a whole dance right now. Now what's amazing is that I didn't feel like dancing when I walked in here. Meaning the Torah has the ability that when you learn and you see the little bit of just the magic, mitchachim, I was so tired a few minutes ago. Why do I feel like I want to dance right now? Because I feel like I'm getting a snapir kaskaset right now. I feel like the Torah puts on us fins and scales. This morning someone spoke to me, someone called me. Oh, ma shlomcha? Oh, metzuyan. He said, wow. I said, what happened? He said, לפני יומיים התקשרתי אליך, אתה לא נשמעת ככה בכלל. He said, מה קרה לך? He said, 2 days ago, I called you, you didn't sound like this. So I said to him, the truth is, I just finished learning this piece of Rav Kook on Pesach, we're going to learn with the men tomorrow morning. And I just got these, like, wow, now I understand what it means. He said, it's true. The Torah does give you, it just gives you wings to fly over the current status of static, of matzeva. The Torah does this to us. Every time we open our hearts to it, the Torah does this to us. So the Shem Yishmuel takes this now to the next level. The Shem Yishmuel is the Shmuel of Sachachov, the Sachachov Rebbe. And the Shem Yishmuel, this is a play on the Shem Yishmuel's words. Now, we already learned, it's the first thing they told us, Hashem told us in Egypt. And when exactly did Hashem Yisbarach tell us? When we were on our way out. But where in the Makot did Hashem tell us this? What parsha, first of all, did Hashem tell us, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem? Does anyone know? What parsha?
Right after
so it's good. How many Makot are there in Bo? Three. Which one? Arbe, Choshech, Makat, Bechorot. Look what he says over here, the Shem Yishmuel. Umevi Shitas HaRishonim, he brings down from our sages, Shema Amar Hashem Yisbarach El Moshe, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, this, when Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, when was it? Haya Lifnei Makat Arbe. So it's before which Makat? The eighth.
Locus.
The eighth one, right?
Yeah.
Locust was eighth. Arbe was eighth. Why? Why was it Dafka then? Look at this brilliant chiddush. Ki berosh chodesh nisan hefiach HaKadosh Baruch Hu chayim chadashim lekol echad. Hashem gave new life to each and every person by saying HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rashei Chodeshim. Veze ho'il rak le'elu sheratzu latzet mitumatam ulehitchadesh. But you know who would benefit from it? Only those that wanted to lehitchadesh. It only benefited those who actually had a desire to come out of their tumah. Ve'elu shelo yiskiu lachzer b'tshuva metu b'shloshes yimei afela. You hear what he's saying? This is so deep. We know that many of them died. When did the Yidden die, that the ones that didn't come out?
During the choshech.
I know, Jack, this is a very delicate issue by you too, because the four-fifths whole thingy. I'm not getting into that. Whatever the number was, there were those that passed away, that died during Makat Choshech. Now, why do we usually say that it was Dafka then that they died? Because we don't want it to be Achil Hashem on the level of that Jews were also died, and the Egyptians could see that Jews were also perishing during the whole inyan of plagues and whatnot. But here he's saying is that when the opportunity to renew yourself was given, and you still chose not to because you didn't believe that you could, or that you didn't really have a desire that you could. So that's why we see, right after that, is Choshech. Hashem says, okay, I gotta...
Well, what does it have to do with Arbe?
It was, they had a chance during Makat Arbe. That was the last one. They had a chance to say, oh, this could be Itchadshut. Then they still didn't. Yeah.
That's the way that Makat came.
I don't understand the connection. Say it again.
Yeah, well, how did he bring the... How did Moshe... How did Hashem tell Moshe to bring it? To take Piyach Kibshan.
Right.
Yes, so that's the Piyach that he brings
from Piyach. Piyach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chayim. Oh, yeah, fair. Sorry. Nachon. That means, from the Lashon of Ayipach Ba'apav Nishmas Chem, he breathed life into everyone during Makas Arbe through the Yidden. He breathed new life into Am Yisrael. But those that still didn't believe that they could do it, or that maybe didn't have a desire, I don't know exactly which one it is over here. Here he says, it benefited only those that actually wanted to become renewed. There were those that didn't even want to become. They're just like, whatever, I want to get out of here. Do you want to become a new person? I can't become a new person.
I just don't want
to be a slave anymore. Very good. Like we always say, I think it was the name of Reb Shlomo, freedom without direction is just another form of slavery. freedom without direction is just another form of slavery. So that's really the inyan over here. I just don't want to be a slave. Okay, but what do you want to do? I don't care, whatever. A free person? I don't know what that means. Can I? Probably not. Gamarno. Yeah, Jay?
Well, also, we always say that the Israel in Mitzrayim were got at the bottom of it, then Tet Shari Tuma. So anyone who didn't want to go ahead
was right there. That's behind was right there.
That was it. They were,
yeah.
There was a hump for them.
Nachon. Nachon. Okay, there's something from the Rebbe here that I thought we were going to do, but it's going to take us way, way somewhere. We'll see. Let's turn the page. Let's see if we'll have time to get back to it. I know we're covering a lot, but this is a very important thing. I want to show you, I want to learn with you how Reb Shlomo understood these concepts in a very, like, original way of thinking. This is really a chidush. He says like this: when did slavery begin? The whole concept of avdus. After the sin of the tree of knowledge, we became slaves. Be'itzavon tochlenu. That's what we're told. After the sin, through suffering shall you be eating the rest of the days of your life. We eat bread with sadness, meaning with sweat, with tears. Reb Nachman says that Egypt was simply the outcome of the tree of knowledge. Therefore, today, we are slaves to bread. I know it's late, but does anyone want to give a crack at what he just said right now? It's mind-blowingly deep. Really, really deep. I'll say it again. We'll read it again slowly, slowly. When did slavery begin? So right after the sin of the tree of knowledge, we became slaves. Now, how do we become slaves? To what did we become slaves after Chet Eitzadas? To our basic needs, we became slaves. Through suffering shall you be eating the rest of the days of your life. Be'itzavon tochlenu. We eat bread with sadness. Reb Nachman says that Egypt was simply the outcome of the tree of knowledge. Okay. Do you want to take that for a second? Does anyone understand? How does anyone understand that? Yetzias Mitzrayim was basically a result of Chet Etzadat. Anyone get that? Leaving, maybe. Becoming free was a tikkun for Chet Etzadat. Yeah.
Living in a society that was Tumah, that was all Gashmi. And the idea was that, how do you leave that? Remember,
so Reb Shlomo is going to say that HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem was the way to really get out of Avdut. Look at it. Yeah.
If the other did eat from Etzadat, he could have basically told Hashem, I made a mistake, and now I want to do what you want me to do, and he didn't do that.
Right.
So maybe that's how it connects to this.
So what did he become a slave to?
To what he did yesterday.
To yesterday's mistake.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, look at this. Matzah, which is Pesach, is the first time that we're eating bread, b'simcha. But, you know, I think about it, this is very deep, but I had to put it out here. What does he mean over here? We have etzev regarding food, regarding bread, v'chule. Matzah, suddenly, how do I know that I eat matzah b'simcha? How am I supposed to eat matzah?
Same.
I'm eating matzah in a different state. Now, when someone comes like this and they eat, what are they least worried about at that moment, besides their diet? What else? What are they least worried about? Time. That's the last thing they're thinking about. They're in the moment. That moment of acknowledging, of being aware. That hasava, we learned in Rav Kook last week, that moment is a moment that goes beyond time. Time is not what you're worried about. And by us, it's already late. It's like, you know, on our standards, already, it's like, it's so funny how Pesach in Australia is the smartest place to have Pesach, because their Seder is much, much earlier, right? So the kids are in it, and it's not a whole balagan. By us, when do we sit down? You can't do early Shabbos, early Pesach. When are we sitting down for the Seder? And the Seder is all about the kids. And the kids stay up till what time? Just to say Manishtana. If you're having even like half a Hamish Seder, what time is Manishtana? Down 10. When you're sitting there, hasava, you're drinking hasava, you're eating hasava, He's saying over here, matzah is the first time that we're going back to concepts of bread, and we're just like, we're eating it free. We're eating it besimcha. We're not in that klala of what Hashem told us in the garden, or while we were being banished from the garden, that said, when you eat, it's all going to be, when's my next piece? When's my next piece? It's not. It's a different set of rules. So he says over here, the greatest fixing is, the fixing of death is not by living forever. The fixing of death is how precious time is. We think that the tikkun of Eitz Hadas, it would mean man lives forever. Why? Because what did Eitz Hadas bring to the world?
Death.
Death. He's saying, that's a gullus mentality. A redemption, a geuladik mentality, is that it's not that I live forever, but it's that every moment becomes forever. Time becomes precious. 5 minutes you give yourself to have your heart open to Hashem lasts forever. It's why? Because you chose to make it. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Yidden, you want to fix the sin of the tree of knowledge? The fixing is HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. Time is in your hands. Time is so precious. So now go look at the last line. This is what we started this year with. Kol Zman. Shana Shama Bekirbi. What does that mean now? What's Kol Zman Shana Shama Bekirbi? Before we said, as long as I'm alive. What does it mean now? Kol Zman. Every moment, Shana Shama Bekirbi, that I'm aware that my soul is within me and that I choose what to do with time. What place does that lead a person to live in? Modeh Ani Lefanecha. This brings a person to gratitude. Internalizing mitzvahs kiddush hachodesh brings a person to say, I'm thankful for every moment that I have, as opposed to, I got through this one again. And this is the whole secret. This is why everything we said right now that boils down to this. This is the intro. This parshas hachodesh, rosh chodesh, is the intro into being able to live a life, and I bless you with this, and bless me back, that time never looks like an enemy. That time never looks like a dictator. That opportunities don't make us feel like we're slaves. There are people that when they walk into a mall, or they walk into a food court, they start to sweat. Why? Why do they start sweating? Because they're so enslaved by, what am I going to do? How much am I going to eat? Which one am I going to, is it going to be the right thing? That opportunities, like zman, as opposed to like looking at my day like, oh my God, I have all these hours to fill. Right? No, it's like, oh my God, I have all these moments to make precious. I have all this time to fill in my lives. And remember that the ability, just remember the fish, remember what Rav Biederman said, v'snapir v'kaskeset, to be able to be a person that appreciates time is someone that develops the snapir v'kaskeset to learn how to swim upstream. If you don't have to swim upstream in order to feel renewed, then you're not really doing anything important in this world. That's Reb Nachman's teaching. Meaning, if for you to feel renewed, it doesn't take any adaptation of something new, or to go against the current, against the flow, you're not really doing anything important in this world. Like, I've watched the Levaya of Rav Yechiel Eckstein, Zichrono Livracha. And you know who that is, right? Who that was? So his brother said such a beautiful vort. I think he quoted his brother, Rav Yechiel. He said over there that every morning in Birkos Kriya Shema we say, Oseh Chadashos, what's the next two words? Baal Milchamos. That to really do something new, Oseh Chadashot, Baal Milchamot. Yeah, there's going to be a little bit of Milchama. If there's no Milchama, it's no really Oseh Chadashot. It's no Itchatshet. So whatever it is, and whatever areas we need to work in life, doesn't matter what it is, Hashem should bless us with bringing, while we read the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh this Shabbos, and remember, it's three Sifrei Torah, it's a lot going on, that at the tefillah at that moment should be Ribono Shel Olam, please let me remember that this is what life is all about. This is what it boils down to. This is what I came into this world for. And give me the kochot and the wisdom and the bitachon that even if I'm not feeling it right now, that the perush of, if someone asks me, do you believe in God? I don't just say yes and I refer to the fact that I believe there's a koyach. But that when I say I believe in Hashem, it means that I believe in koach ha-hitchatshut. That's what it means that I believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All right, yishe koach everyone. Thank you for coming. This voice of Abiraman is just kula tora kula. You know, sorry, I'm gonna go back to that nigga one more time. Huh? Yeah, I have to go back to him. No, there's no way. I can't get it. It's done. I don't remember it. Okay, let's do another one. Thank you for coming.